Hi, I'm Ashley Appap.
And I'm Hayley Tanto.
Welcome to Call an Adult, a Pretty Little Liars recap podcast.
Each week, we'll dive headfirst into the absolutely bonkers world of PLL as we recap the iconic series.
Where everyone is hot.
And no one calls an adult.
Let's go, bitches.
A.
Hello.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving. Archie's gonna come fast.
Arch support.
We're back.
The
welcome.
Amazing name you coined.
Thank you. Look, if there's nothing that we do here apart from coining nicknames, then that be what it be.
It be what it be.
And we do what we do. And what we do is coin nicknames and record this silly podcast.
Hello, if you're new or if you've just, I don't know why you haven't listened to the first episode of our summer school series, but my name is Hayley.
My name is Ashley, and we are thrilled to be back with another recap episode of PLL Summer School. And God, it's a good one. It's a juicy one.
Ugh. It's a good one, and I think a lot of our critiques from that first episode, this episode felt better. I had more fun in this one, I will say, because there's just the first episode of a season is really tough. You have to set so much up. They had a lot of loose ends to tie up. So I had a really fun time in this episode. God bless.
Everyone, what we usually do with our normal episodes is I read out the episode descriptions on Wikipedia written by the 12-year-olds, which of course the girlianas who write them, and we call them 12-year-olds because based off their reading comprehension levels, they must be 12 years old, and we don't hold that against them. We love them for
They're doing their best.
They're doing their
but
best.
But they're 12 years old.
And sometimes their best is a D, sometimes it's an A+. It depends on the
sometimes
day.
Sometimes their best is not good enough.
And that's okay. That's how we grow.
Yeah.
Okay? But for our spin-off Original Sin / Summer School episodes, I will be reading the episode description on the PLL wiki, not Wikipedia, like the fandom wiki, and then Hayley will be reading the episode description on Australian streaming service Binge.
We know it, we love it.
We're going to see how similar they are, because I remember last year they were very similar. So let's get our little butts stuck into it. Here is
I'm so excited.
The PLL wiki episode description for Summer School, Episode 2, Chapter 12.
Summer Lovin'.
Heeding Dr. Sullivan's advice, the PLLs make the most of their summers. Meanwhile, Imogen forges a new identity away from her closest friends.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
The start of that, I was like, these are different. And then it got similar. Australian streaming service Binge says, haunted by increasingly disturbing hallucinations, Imogen attempts to forge a new identity outside of Millwood. As summer kicks off, Noah reconnects with an old friend.
Oh.
So the Imogen thing was exactly the same.
Yes.
To a degree.
Interesting.
Obsessed with the Binge content writers.
Obsessed
Hire
with them.
Me.
Give us work.
Please.
Also, give us work, but we are working pretty hard as it is because we do also have a Patreon. If you are missing our regular eps, they will be back as soon as we finish with this series. But in the meantime, our Patreon is still up and running as it is. We have weekly episodes if you subscribe to our highest level of Patreon. So come hang out with us for more PLL content.
Come join Byron's Wine Club.
Oh, we have a sip. We have a sip, and God, do we have
we
a gab.
We have a sip, and we have a dish.
We have a dish.
And if you are new as well, we recap the normal PLL, the original PLL, and we're up to season 4 right now. So catch up.
We have been doing
catch
this
up.
For years at this point. And
yeah.
I thought about it the other day. I was like, oh, you know, there is another like pretty prominent recap podcast. I think they're ahead of us. And I was kind of like, how? And I'm pretty sure we started before them. But it's because
we've gone fortnightly,
but you
know
what?
Taken some breaks.
That's
so.
Because sustainability is key. All right.
Because we will finish this series. People are like, please finish this series. And we're like, we will do it.
There is no way we are going to stop in our tracks. The whole point is we also have to live, laugh, love, and do the rest of our lives. So this is the way that
we sometimes the new PLL comes out. We have to cover it.
And sometimes
which is
we have
why
to
we're
cover
journalists,
it.
Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. And you know what? I don't know if other PLL podcasts are doing this, but we know that we, boots on the ground, are absolutely going to be covering summer school. So we want to just let you know that we're here and we're going to do the whole thing, and then we'll be back to regular programming. We can't wait to hear what you guys
it's
think
really
of
fun.
The show.
Something I love about recapping these new PLL ones is that we and our listeners don't know what's happening.
No, yeah, it's all brand new.
Whereas when we're like recapping the original, it's like, well, some people, we've seen it and some of our listeners have seen it heaps, and then some of our listeners have not seen it at all. So it's kind of like we know how it ends, whereas this is like, I don't fucking know what's going on. I don't know who's killing who.
I don't know who's...
And it's fun to be on the same page as everyone.
Whoops, do you know?
Whoops is whoops. All right.
Speaking of whoops, we also always say happy birthday to anyone who's born on the day of the release of each episode. But this episode and the last episode were released on the same day, which is 2 days ago from when we're recording this, May 9th. So in our last episode, we said happy birthday to all the May 9th babies. But today, we're going to say happy birthday to all the May 11th babies, which is the day in which we are recording. So if it is your birthday today on May 11th, happy birthday, doll. We love you. Celebrate.
Happy birthday.
Including Sabrina Carpenter. Happy birthday, Ooh. Lil Miss Espressiano
That's
herself.
That's me, Espresso.
Happy birthday, Black China.
Happy
birthday,
Black China.
Lana Condor. Happy birthday, RIP, Corey Monteith.
Ooh.
Happy birthday. Pause. Itchy. Happy birthday, and also RIP, Salvador Dali.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's it. Happy birthday.
That's it.
Happy birthday to those birthday kings and queens and in between.
And happy birthday to you, May 11th, children.
It is your day. Celebrate however you wish.
Celebrate by listening to us. Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Let's get stuck into this fucking episode. I'm so excited.
We start with an image and nightmare, which is... feels like par for the course, ATM.
Obviously.
I don't know. It's a classic thing. And then she looks at her meds. She kind of wakes up from a nightmare of, is it A holding her baby? No, that was in the first episode.
I don't
know. Her mum holding her baby.
I think the episode is someone coming in to get her or something, taking the baby being there with her, the baby being taken away. I'm not sure. Honestly, who cares?
Who cares?
But she's not taking her anti-anxiety meds is the main thing we take away from this. She like looks over and sees her pill bottles and she's not taking them. Interesting.
Or I think we learned that's what I thought. And then I think we learned she is, or maybe she starts after that.
That's right. We find out later. When
because
she's
I wrote the same thing of like, oh, she looks at her meds and decides to start taking them. And then I think I later learned like, oh, wait. That's not what that indicated.
I'm not sure what it indicated. I do know that later in the episode, there's a moment with Selva Nussi, our queen, where she says something like, it takes a while to find the right ones. And I think she's saying she thinks that the medication is giving her nightmares. So maybe she has been taking it.
Yes, and making her hallucinating.
Yeah, so maybe that's what's going on here.
Making her hallucinating.
Making her hallucinating.
That's what I just said. Making her hallucinating.
Dua Lipa.
And then Cruel Summer by Bananarama plays, which is a fantastic song.
Important.
It's a cruel, cruel, cruel summer.
And then we find out that...
we're in summer school.
It's summer school time. The bell is ringing. We are here. And
for whom the bell dongs.
For whom's the bell dongs at summer school. And that whomst is Imogen because she is separated from her friends in summer school. There's like two
all her
chunks of kids.
All the girls are in section... chunks? Yes, they're in summer school chunks. All the girls are in section A. I think Noah says, God, I hate that letter, which is... fun.
There's like three or four references to them hating the letter A now throughout this episode. And I'm like, okay, we get it. You didn't need to do it this
time. I think
times.
That's the thing of like the first time they mentioned Final Girls in the first episode, I'm like, lovely. And then they kept going. And then in this one, they're like, A is a bad letter. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. And then they kept going. And I'm like, I know.
It's giving, we get it it's now. Giving beating a dead horse vibes.
It's beating a dead horse. Emphasize the A in dead horse.
De-ed horse.
De-ed? Christopher Walken again.
He's always with us.
I will say I found an Easter egg myself that's not in the trivia. I just saw it myself because the episode was written by someone called Michael Grassi. And under Imogen's name in the Section B list, there is a Michael Grassi. So I liked the staff, the writing staff being on that list. Cute.
Put yourself
Easter
in.
Easter egg.
So yeah, Imogen is separated from everyone. She's kind of like with the derelicts, you know. She's with like the freaks and the weirdos the burnouts.
To quote Dr. Sullivan, we'll see later, the punks.
Oh, we'll get to her. Oh, she.
We'll get there.
The punks. The punks are there.
The punks.
And, okay, the teacher, we barely see this woman. We see one frame of this teacher who's running Block B. This woman's hair, I feel, I hope everything's okay. I hope the hair and makeup didn't do her dirty the way they did Lindsay Shaw in early PLL. Her hair literally looks like they've just put a mop on top of a human being's head.
She might not be okay. And she might be Bloody Rose Waters.
Oh,
she probably isn't.
Oh my God. Theory alert.
Theory alert. Important. Also, Imogen finds a rose in her desk.
An actual
makes
rose.
Makes you think.
Ooh.
An actual rose makes you think.
Rose Waters. Ooh.
And then over in Section A, which is the better section, a cute lady walks in, a cute teenager. Her name is Jen.
Yep.
And no one knows her from juvie, and there is clear tension, winky face.
Oh, as soon as she walked in and they locked eyes, I said, hot lesbian gonna turn Noah.
Sexy can. And we kind of realized later.
Sexy did.
Sexy did. Sexy did I.
Sexy did I.
Sexy did.
Title of it.
Also, that's our Detective Gabriel Holbrook song. It's our Sean Farris song because we're currently recapping season 4 of the original PLL, and every time he comes on screen, we come and
of course
we sing that song.
Sexy,
which I guess is transferred over to this show.
So I guess that even though she's not a police officer, she's a woman in no way, you know. Analogous to
she's
him.
Gorgeous.
Jen is Jen. The Detective Holbrook or Mulbrook of this show. Is that what we say?
Yeah, Mulbrook.
Mulbrook. We found out they were in juvie situation, and then I wrote this. This must have been one of those drop the soap situations.
Ooh.
And then Ali, shout out, of course, queen friend of the pod, Ali Sheehan, said, you know that. No one needs to drop the soap when there's two vaginas. And then we got into a big discussion about actually you're not supposed to wash your pussy with soap.
No.
So there we are.
Because it's working itself.
It's working
the
itself.
The vagina works itself to, you know, stay clean.
She is always working.
Speaking of cunt at therapy, the girls are lamenting summer school. And Sullivan Ussi says, I was a bit of a punk in high school.
I wrote, I want that spin-off. Show us Sullivan Ussi, like, huffing glue and...
I'm gagging
like,
for that spin-off.
Giving herself a fucking mohawk and putting safety pins through her earlobes. Show us her as a punk.
I need it. I need her Aria pink stripe in her hair era.
Oh, my God.
More than anything in this world.
And then
she says, summer school is not life or death, which is a thing. It feels like a recurring motif in the promo and in like, it feels like, okay, sounds like summer school is going to be death then.
Okay, seems like what you're trying to say, summer school is not going to be life, but it may be death.
It may be death.
It might give us, the viewers, life, but it may be death to all of them, the girls.
And it probably won't because they are final girls, which they tell us a thousand times.
Get wrecked. Then, yeah, this is where we see that Imogen is taking the meds, but they're giving her nightmares. And she then mentions to Sullivan Ussi that she's, like, trying to find out. She wants to find out what meds her mother was on.
Yeah, I think Sullivan Ussi's like, we should look into your mum's history.
Your mum.
Because I think Imogen's like, I don't want to – my mum killed herself. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, she's like, she had – you know, I have anxiety and depression tendencies, and I don't want to be like my – you know. End up like my mum. So there's also, I was skeptical about like, okay, are they talking about, because she had hallucinations, is this going to get into the territory of like, and then later in the episode, we'll get to it, she's like pretending to be another person. I was like, are they going to make this some kind of like personality disorder related mental health issue? Like, are they going to say that she's schizophrenia or bipolar or something where she's like needing to pretend or like to put herself in a different personality in order to feel safe or something. Is that like
thing in this episode?
Is so something to keep an eye out for if that's
yeah, that's a good one.
Interesting. And because we don't hear the exact conditions that her mum has, and it seems like at this point she doesn't actually know herself.
Yep.
You know, like it seems like
absolutely
her mother's mental health was largely kept in the dark to her. So it's an interesting thing, Road, I think we're going to explore more throughout the season. And then Dr. Salvanussi says something that I feel like a therapist legally isn't supposed to say. She says, "You're going to be okay. I promise."
that was Dr. Salvanussi down of a promise you can't keep.
Ma'am. Everyone she around is her
too
is
dying. Involved in her clients, in her patients' life, and I appreciate it.
We love her, but...
But not the right thing to say, but we love Dr. Salvanussi.
We love her, but she flopped.
She flopped. At the Orpheum, the cinema, a new hot guy called Christian is working there. Tabby seems intrigued.
He asks Tabby for her phone number, and she's like, and he's like, well, because you're going to be technically my
for
boss.
Shifts.
Like, I need you to be able to tell me if I'm... Fucking,
I was like,
you know,
get it together, Tabby.
Working or not. Get it together, Tab.
Get it together, Tabby.
And then Noah and her blonde girl, Jen.
My notes auto-corrected Noah to not again.
Not talking about Sean, not. How they're together. Also, Farron is getting a job as a lifeguard for the summer. And I wrote,
yeah, okay. Her hot trainer.
I wrote, okay, like, Gabrielle Montez, High School Musical 2.
Yeah.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
She has a very hot trainer who's like believing in her. And I was like, okay, so maybe she's going to be cheating on her boyfriend with this hot trainer. We'll find out.
Or the hot trainer's going to be very sus because he is older and he's giving creepo vibes. Kind of like Wes.
He's giving, well, he's also the trainer. It's kind of giving Jason De Laurentiis as the wrestling coach.
Yes. Lest we forget.
Lest.
Lest we forget that Wes, the cinema guy, didn't he, like, attempt to assault Tabby?
He didn't attempt to assault her, I don't think. He invited her over for dinner and tried to, like, have a date with her. And she got really scared about it, and so she just left while he was cooking, which we were like, girl. Yes, good idea.
Okay.
But
I
don't think that he actually did anything. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners.
I feel like I remember her realizing that maybe she had been like drugged, but now I'm like, that can't be, because Wes is kind of just like a fine character.
No, well, I think that was the thing, the whole arc of season one with Wes was for us to assume that it must be him because he's been flirting with her and wooing her and like it seemingly like making sure that her shifts are with him and all this stuff, but really it was Chip all along who was the nefarious one. So I don't
nefarious
think he actually did
Chip.
Anything bad. She had reasonable reactions to him being like inappropriate-ish with her, I think. Yeah.
Beautiful. I do have a note here because I think they're just talking about their love of movies in general. I think she pretends she doesn't love horror because that comes back later that's revealed. But Christian loves making special effects for movies. So he loves making prosthetics and he says the bloodier the better.
Creep.
So that's something.
The rose, the bloody rose water, yeah, the better. Then Imogen is at her dad's house and she's asking.
I forgot
him,
about this man.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man.
I could have seen this man and wouldn't know a damn thing. Sorry to this man. She's at her dad's house basically asking like for more information about her mum's mental health issues and stuff so that she can get more of a picture of what she should expect for herself, genetically smart. And I don't think he has that much to say about that, but he offers for her to stay there with him if she ever needs, and being like, you've been through so fucking much, if you just want to like,
yeah, you can always like just chill here,
just chill here,
reset,
which is really nice. And
which
then
she does not take him up on that offer.
She does not, no. But then we cut back to Redemption House. That's right, we are at Kelly's church with Pastor Malachi,
or Pastor Malachi, as my notes have said, and I think your notes have said,
creepy Pastor Malachi.
Pastor Malachi. And yeah, he's talking about this redemption. What did you say?
Redemption
House.
So it seems like Redemption House is an event that they have to audition for. So there's like scenes
of sins.
So one of them we find out is like the classic like teen lovers that are gonna have sex before they're married. And
Kelly is dragged Greg along.
And Greg
is like, you know, I'm an atheist, right? Like, I hate this.
Which I love that he says that.
Obsessed. And then there's this like, in the context of the show, this like hoe, this curly haired diva next to them causing all the trouble. She's like thirsty as for Greg's dong, which I'm like, can't blame. I love this woman.
Her name is Sandy, which is cute because a reference to Greece.
It's incredible. Her name's Sandy.
And she's
just
huge,
so bold.
She's got huge, beautiful bazonkas and they're out and I'm happy about it. And Kelly kind of is like to Greg, like, we're going for that part. We're going to get those roles. And she's like, not if I can help it. This is the role I was born to play. See my tiggle bitties?
Like,
I'm going to fucking suck and get this role.
She says something along the lines of like, Kelly, you actually have to have sex to get that role or something. Like, it's something that's
it's
a dig. And
so
I'm like, this is
funny.
Crazy.
I love
Obsessed
it.
Obsessed with this storyline.
And then we see Imogen, like, she's on her way back from her dad's house and there's a diner near his house and she stops at. And she's like, I'm going to apply for a job here. I would love to, like, this is a town that I don't really spend much time in. And I could, like, just be someone else. So she's like, I'm going to get a job. And they're like, woman's like, what's your name? And she says her name.
She says, Lee Abel. Lee Abel. And, like, it's definitely Lee, which we learn is her mum's
middle name.
I don't know.
Maybe there's some kind of
unless I wrote that down wrong. But
like Cain and Abel or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and she says the lady's like, "Oh, what experience do you have?" And she says, "My mum and I volunteer at soup kitchens."
So she's acting like her mum's not dead.
So I think you're right that yes, something NQR.
Not quite right.
Save
for you, Australia. You know that reference to that local discount grocery store. So maybe. We do see later in the episode she does like something that reclaims like, no, she's going to be herself. But
yeah, she comes back from the brink. But I think it's worth, no, you're right, because we're spending a lot of time talking about her mum's mental health. So there might be something there with Imogen.
Yeah, definitely. And then we find out that Noah's mum actually isn't ready to come home from rehab. So, like, Noah just said that to...
Because her... No, to Sean.
Sean's family.
Because Sean's mum has been on Noah's case.
She's been annoying her even though reasonably.
Which, as we said in the last episode, not the villain. I don't think she's the villain.
No, I don't think so either. But so she's secretly living in her house alone while her mum is still in rehab. And is like to Sean, she's like, but you can like come over whenever and we can just like suck and fuck at my house, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But also,
girl, get it.
When you're in a town where there's killers on the loose, why the fuck?
I wouldn't
want to
live alone.
It's scary.
No. I think Imogen's got it made at Tabby's.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful house. Christmas parties. Live it up.
Oh.
Then Imogen accidentally.
Oh my God.
Likes a photo on Tabitha's phone. They're looking at Christian's Instagram. Film boy Christian.
And I will say, a lot of, on Christian's Instagram, a lot of his prosthetic work and his film effects work really looks like Bloody Rose Waters.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. And then it's so funny, Imogen accidentally likes a post from 3 months ago, which is so real.
Ah, we've all done it.
It's so real. Why do they make it so easy?
And it's a very funny, like, realistic conversation of her and Imogen being like, okay, well, do you just follow him and then like a bunch of stuff so that it doesn't look like you're just accidentally stalking and then like, just unlike it. But if you unlike it, he'll still see the notification that you liked it. It's like, real talk, girls.
Oh, it's so real. Mouse's mums are going. We finally see Mouse's mums. Thank God.
Thank God.
They're going out somewhere. I think I was writing notes from this prior scene. But Mouse's Lola, like her grandmother, is in town, I guess, or is around. So they get to hang out and I'm obsessed with Lola.
I love Lola. Also, I will just say before we keep getting to this, Kelly and Greg, I believe, are in the car talking about how they won't fuck and he's really mad. And she's like, it's just, I'm re-virginized. He's like, you're re-virginized, but I'm not.
Yes.
And I can't remember.
He's got blue. He's like, my blue balls have blue balls. I'm like, blue balls aren't a thing.
And then he's like, I'm going to go home and take a cold shower. And we're like, go wank.
Go wank. It's fine. Like, go wank. Go wank. It's okay.
Get it. Yeah. So then we're back at the doll. So Mouse's family owns a doll store.
Like an antique shop. Don't own antique stores if you live in Rosewood or Millwood or even Riverdale, probably. Like, just if you live in one of these towns where young women get murdered.
Don't have dolls, period.
Stay away from the dolls.
The only dollhouse.
If you're a doll yourself.
That is needed is our Patreon, because our Patreon is called The Dollhouse and we call everyone in it The Dolls.
Get into the dollhouse.
Come into the dollhouse. But then she sees. Oh my God,
and yes.
With one of the porcelain dolls, there's a rose. There's a fucking rose in the hand of one of the dolls. She's like, which harks back to when Imogen saw a rose in her desk at school.
And it makes you think. And it makes you stink.
And it makes you think and stink.
Lola says the best line so far of the episode, and maybe my favorite line of the episode, who knows? She's on a computer and she says, can I watch my shows on this? And that's real. That's real talk.
And that's real.
And I love that. And I said, same.
I want to know what Lola. Our shows are.
And then I think, and Mouse is like, yeah, man. And then Spooky Spaghetti pops up. I think Lola's like, what the fuck is Spooky Spaghetti? And then at the start in the other episode, maybe at some point in summer school, there's two absentees and there's like two people who are not mentioned. Turns out on Spooky Spaghetti, there's a thing about those two no-shows were murdered. The two people got frisky in the cabin in the woods at the end of last episode.
Well, does it say on the Spooky Spaghetti that they were murdered, or is that just showing that they're missing?
Maybe it shows they're missing.
I don't yet think we know that they were murdered. I think it's that Mouse sees the names of those people and is like, oh my God, they're the two people that were supposed to be in our summer school classes and they never showed up.
They're missing.
They're missing. And now it's on Spooky Spaghetti. What the hell? The two that went to the shack. Yeah, at the very end of the last episode, they were trying to suck and fuck in the Rose H2O
don't do that,
shack.
Even though it's camp.
And then got stabbed. So we know that they're murdered. I don't think the girls know yet.
Yes.
And then we're at school and Noah finds a rose in her locker. And she...
Jen walks past at that time.
So I think she thinks it's
and
Jen.
And so she thinks it's from Jen. And that happens with Tabby later as well, which I kind of love. Like, I love the idea that they're getting these calling cards, but then some of them are like... My crush.
Yeah, it's cute.
Which I think is a really nice kind of twist on the A thing of like whenever they get like, you know, some kind of mark from A, it's like, oh no, it's scary. But I like the idea that they don't know.
Yeah, me too. And then swimming tryouts are happening and Farrah and Greg are in the locker room and they're fighting and there is sexual tension if I don't say so myself.
There is sexual tension also. And right before that, when they kind of cut to the pool, I just love this pool scene. It's like army warm-ups or whatever. It's like army drills. I kind of love this head lifeguard. I think he's going to be bad.
I think he's going to be bad, but I like him. Yeah, me too.
I'm enjoying the character. And there's just like a lineup of 1,000 hot men, including Ash and Greg and Farron.
Which we love.
And Farron versus Greg in the pool. She wins. And then, yes, he corners her in the change room and they have a very flirty energy.
They do. And I would like to say that scene at the pool could not be more Emily Fields coded, okay? Not only is it swimming, it's also army. If that's not
army.
In the
it
Fields
was Emily...
DNA, I don't know what is.
We need to get Wayne Fields on the field.
Oh, Wayne
Sexy
Fields.
Sexy canna.
Well, Wayne Fields is dead.
Well, bring him back.
Rip.
Take him to Sabrina. Take him to Ravenswood.
Take him to Ravenswood and get him to come back as Caleb, like Caleb did with dead Caleb. Honestly... You could not tell me what happened in Ravenswood, and I honestly don't even think I need to know or want
it's
to.
It's not our purpose to know unless we cover it on the Patreon at some point.
All
but for
we
now,
know
it's
is
not ours
we
to
love
know.
Mrs. Grumwald, and we hope she's well. Now,
I hope her and her beautiful eyes are well.
My next note says, I hate these cinema references and fighting. I don't really know what that meant, but I stand by it.
I think this is in reference to Tabby is cleaning while Christian and Wes are sharing bad movie opinions, and it's very real of like the woman is kind of picking up all the slack. And then eventually Tabby says something very inside baseball about horror, and Christian goes, so you do like horror? And I'm like, right, yeah, she does. And Jen has got a job at Pinball Pizza with This time Noah corrected to now. I'm really struggling.
And then the girls have all decided they're going to surprise Imogen at the new diner near her dad's house.
At Rocky's?
Rocky's.
And Imogen doesn't seem too enthused about that.
No, because she is pretending to be someone else while she's working at this diner. It's her little escape. They all sit down with her on her break and they're like, that name tag, the interrogation of the name tag is so funny to me. It's so funny.
It is.
Because they're like, Lee, it says Lee on that. Like, she's like, oh yeah, they just gave me an old one. And then Tabby's like, looks pretty new to me.
Yeah. And then I will say in this one, I wrote, just let her do a weird thing at Rocky's, guys. Just let her
rock and roll.
It's weird. She's fine. I guess we do learn that it's further away than we think. Like, I will say it's not great, but just let her do her thing.
And then, yeah, one of them's like, wasn't Lee your mum's middle name? And then she reveals, you know, she's doing it to have a start fresh and get to just be somewhere else and someone else where she doesn't have to think about being a girl that everyone knows is like, all these horrible things happen to her. We get it. Okay, we get it. Then Farron getting a back massage from her boyfriend. And I was like, ugh, I don't care for this guy anymore.
And this is where, yeah, Henry starts flipping and he's annoyed about, you can tell he's resentful about not going to Pittsburgh to do that dance thing.
Okay.
Even though he said he'd stay.
That's the
with
thing.
Farron.
What I didn't understand. They both got in. She didn't go. And then he's like, I'll stay in Millwood for you. And it's like, guys, yeah, it's for a summer. It's 3 months. Go to your fucking thing that you applied for, that you wanted for your career and your creativity. Why would you not?
And that's on Henry. Like, it's like, Henry, doll, you can't blame her. Okay?
It's fucked.
What a shame. And then Farron's like, ugh, Greg. I hate Greg. Oh, my God. Ugh. And you can tell something spicy is brewing.
In her puss.
In her puss. And then
the boyfriend gets really defensive about how Greg arced up at her. And he's like, that guy. And she's like, I'll take care of it. Just like, ugh. Keep massaging my
back.
But
he doesn't listen.
He doesn't listen. We'll get to that.
Then we have my least favorite scene in the whole entire world.
Me too.
Which is, it's beautifully directed. It is Riverdale coded. It's Imogen at a bus stop alone in the dead of night. Why do these shows hate the Pennsylvania wilderness? They make Pennsylvania look scary.
But you know what? They make bus stops look magical because the lattice work on this bus stop, it looks like we are in some kind of Victorian era gazebo. It's charming and it's gorgeous for such a creepy scene. A creepy pasta, if you will.
Such a creepy scene because bloody... And this is where I realize, oh, she hasn't been driving to this place. She's been catching the bus to an all-night diner.
Uh-uh.
Imogen. Death wish Imogen to all of them.
She's got a death wish to all of herself.
Then she sees Bloody Rose Waters approaching, and I stand by my comment that Bloody Rose Waters looks like an animatronic.
Mm-hmm.
She has like a limp of sorts or a very stilted way of moving.
She's like, you know how in some zombie lore, for some zombie, like, you know, characteristics, it's like they see a person they want to eat and they yeet towards you and they run and they come and get you. And then there's some zombies that are like, I am brain dead. So they like don't have motivation and they just slowly come towards people, and that's how people can run away. She's got that second kind of thing happening where something is stopping her from making haste.
Yes.
And we're grateful
and
for
thank
that.
God the bus pulls up. Imogen runs in front of the bus and makes it
and
stop.
And screams and gets on it.
Real.
And for a second
and
I thought, oh my God, she's going to get on the bus and the bus driver's going to be Bloody Rose Waters, but then it wasn't. It was just she got on the bus safely, thank God.
Thank God. Give us a break. Speaking of screaming, at Mouse and Ash, well, at Mouse's and Ash is there. Lola screams. She saw Bloody Rose. She describes Bloody Rose.
She describes.
Essentially, because Mouse.
Someone standing outside the window that, yeah, she says. Like,
has a bandaged face or whatever. Then I just wrote, I love Lola.
I love Lola.
That's it. And then the next morning, Lola makes them like a delicious. Oh, and she meets Ash for the first time that night. She's like, who are you? Oh, okay, cool. The next day, she reintroduces herself to Ash. She's like, I don't think I've met you. And it's like, turns out she was sleepwalking.
Ooh, so maybe she didn't see
you
anywhere.
Well, she says
outside.
She was sleepwalking.
So this is a couple of things we missed that we should probably just say as well. As soon as Imogen gets on the bus, she pops her pills and then is like convinced. She's just like talking to herself, being like, I just imagined her. She wasn't real. She looks at the window. There's no one there. So she's like, I must have imagined her. So that's continuing this mental health theory that I have going on. And then also, yeah, so when the whole Lola middle of the night thing happens, Ash and Mouse are like spooning in bed and they're asleep and they hear Lola scream, so they run downstairs. And then, yeah, so Ash is like, I'll go see what's outside. And it's like, I couldn't see anything. And we were like, I think this is continuing the Ash sus angle of things, because Ash said, goes outside, says they didn't see anything, but we have no confirmation that they didn't see anything. But also, it couldn't have been Ash standing outside with them, because Ash was in the bed with Mouse when she saw the person outside, allegedly. But also, if she was sleepwalking, maybe there was just literally nothing there and it's just all there to throw us off. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. Then Imogen is in denial and drugged up at school. She's really
chill.
She
sits in section A when she shouldn't. She's really like on one, and she's sassing out the exceptionally fierce Mrs. Gibbons, who runs section A, this gorgeous teacher.
We love Miss Gibb.
And then Tabby is like, let's forgive her. Like, let's all, girls, let's round up Imogen. And they all go to the bathrooms, and Imogen kind of has a breakdown and admits that she's struggling. She says she hallucinated Bloody Rose Waters.
Yep. And then the girls are like cuddling, kind of like all huddled up, being like, everything's gonna be okay, look at, think of how brave and strong you are. And it's like a very simple way, like it's very easy for them to convince her everything's gonna be fine.
Also, Bailey Madison acted her ass off in this. Yeah. She's really good at like fake crying.
Slaley Madison is killing it.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Kelly didn't get the part in Resurrection House. No. And guess
what?
Sandy Big Tits got it instead.
And I love this because, you know, it's that classic high school thing when the parts go up on the pin board and then like the character we're following pushes everyone out of the way to look. We get that. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that so much.
It's giving Sharpay Evans. Oh. And then
Sandy Quinn walks up to, is it Sandy? Yeah. Sandy walks up to her. Because she got the part with Greg that's like sucking and fucking. And she says, what do you think happens when a guy can't release what he's got intended?
What do you think happens?
And then I said, so funny, this curly haired diva.
As intended. She's talking about cum.
Cum.
It's giving cum.
It's giving cum. And I love Sandy. May she rest in peace. Spoiler.
She's about to die. Then Farron is like putting her hand into her bag and something pricks her. She's like, ah, and it's a thorn because there's a rose in her bag.
Kiss from a rose.
On the grave. Then the dancer boy, can't remember his name. What is the dancer boyfriend's name?
Henry.
Henry, okay. Henry, I will now remember his name because I will think of Henry Barlow, Lisa Barlow's weird little son.
Henry Barlow.
And I feel like they do have the same energy. So Henry confronts Greg, and Greg calls him her gay little boyfriend, which we don't like. And then Farron's like, fuck you, and punches him in the face before Henry can really stand up for himself.
And then the hot lifeguard head is like,
in my office.
Farron, get in here now. And he's like, that's no way a captain should act, and she finds out she's been made the captain now.
Punch a guy in the face, you get promoted to captain, and that's the way the
world
should
work. This made me go like, okay, is the Greg Farron thing not on? Because Greg looked pretty shit in that scene, so I don't really know what that arc will be.
I don't know either. We'll see. We'll see.
But we'll see.
Maybe it ends up becoming a weird thing where he's like, I liked when you hit me. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Sullivan-Ussi is basically like, okay, Imogen, I'm going to tell the teachers you need to be in the group with your friends. So she's going to make that happen.
Yeah, I like that. Of like, just let her have it.
And also,
like,
Dr.
Really
Sullivan-Ussi has a beautiful green mug next to her that I loved.
She's got, again, get the Architectural Digest AD in there. Mm. Please.
Hello, sister. AD. Then Noah is at
Pinball-
work.
Yes.
Pinball Pizza.
Noah and Jen are like connecting, and then Sean comes in, and Sean is so sweet. I was like, damn. He's not threatened at all by Jen. He should be.
And then he's come to pick up a pizza and meets Jen, and then Jen reveals like, oh, I wouldn't have been able to get through juvie without Noah. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So they know each other quite well. Interesting. Dot, dot, dot. And then we cut to Farron and Henry in the car, and she's like, I told you not to fucking do anything. Like, let me handle my own battles with Gregiana. Mm. And then she's like, why don't you just come join the lifeguard team? And we find out he can't swim.
Thank God, because we don't really want him
there. We don't really, but also it made me...
We're off him.
It made me be like, uh-oh, any bit they're going to use that and they're going to put him in a body of water and something's going to go wrong at some point. True. So let's look out for that.
Also, Henry's in his flop era because Kelly's been texting him about the church play, and this is where I was like, I think there's a partner swap going on.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Of like Greg and Farron, Kelly and Henry.
That's going to... Yes, I agree that that seems to be some version of wife swap USA, but it's husband
also
swap.
And at some point Christian recommended that Tabby show her film at the Orpheum just for her friends, so because the next scene, which we just didn't say, and then the next scene is all the girls in these like cute summer dresses. They're all there for Tabby's premiere.
They look so beautiful.
It's really cute.
Tabby has a really cute little holographic handbag that I love. They're all wearing cute shoes. Her name is in lights. Christian's put up her name in like the like placard thing that has the name.
Tabitha something.
Tabitha something.
I didn't write down her last name, but God bless her. I love that Imogen is in this movie.
I hope her last name is Trope because she's giving Trope. She's giving horror tropes.
Tabitha Trope.
Tabitha Trope.
Is a great name.
Thank you.
Tabitha Trope.
And then Kelly and Greg are fighting in the car. And he's just like being so like pissy and like, oh, fuck me. Why won't you fuck me anymore? And then she's like, you know, there are other things that we can do that I can do for you. And then is basically so like going to suck and fuck on.
She puts out a bit. And it's giving make out point. So I was scared someone was going to get stabbed.
Well, and especially because Summer Lovin', also we think of
the
car, the drive-in scene in Greece. But of course that so beautifully ends with him singing alone when he's looking at those animations of the hot dog and the bun. Important.
There you go.
Then I've written only the five girls in the theater,
like, which I think is for the best because she can't do it publicly because she's still got like the cease and desist, I guess.
Yeah, but
also I do think, I don't know, I feel like not many people should see this movie just yet. I think it's I think just for like legal reasons, I think it is good to kind of keep it. I know that's like bad for like the empowerment storyline. I am just like, just protect yourselves. Like, I think just take everything offline in general.
I agree. I think considering everything that's happened in the last 6 months, they should just not be online or in
I'm glad it's helping with like the grief process and the trauma process. But yeah, even like Christian seeing it, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, okay.
And then it says like written, directed, edited and special effects
and special effects
by
which
Tabby.
Is not something you put there. It is like written, directed and whatever, like, but I'm like, okay,
special effects. It's clear that they only put that so that Christian could give his
give her the fun note at the end about, like, oh, you should add this to like your blood, it makes it look more realistic.
I don't know. He loved the movie anyway, and the girls kind of like convince him to walk Tabitha home,
which is cute. And then so they all leave. They all find it's funny, but they all find excuses that they don't need to share. They all share stupid excuses.
Yeah.
And as Tabby's grabbing like a clipboard, which I assume has just the
like
cleaning
closing
up
checklist for the night.
Closing up. Yeah. There's a rose on it and she thinks it's from Christian.
Mate, it's not.
Bro.
Angelica.
Speaking of romance at the ice cream parlor, Imogen walks in and a really hot guy called Johnny is working and she asks for a job.
Work girl.
Which is good because we're like, stop working at Rocky's.
Scary. And then when he asks her name, it's a very funny like cliche, but Bailey Madison's so good that it's not that cheesy. One of those moments where she's like, should I say my fake name? No.
It's like, just say Imogen.
I'm going to say my name. She's like, Imogen Adams.
Yeah, no shit. Your name's Imogen.
Get it.
And then an unknown caller calls her.
Ooh, and then Tabitha also gets a call from an unknown caller, but she and Christian are talking about movies, so she couldn't. She's just like having too good a time talking about movies. Then Farron gets an unknown call. And then Noah, I think, gets one as well. And she's lying in bed with Sean. And then there's like a slight like, all of a sudden, flashback to her asleep on Jen's chest, or Jen asleep on her chest in juvie. Obviously, they were lovers.
Which is where we learn, like, oh, Jen's not going to turn Noah.
Noah been turned.
Noah is bi.
Noah been bi. Noah's queer.
And then, oh my god, our favorite character, our curly haired diva,
Sandy,
has the campus scene where she, I think, is meant to meet up with Greg to run lines, and then he cancels because he's getting his dick sucked, probably.
In the car. Yeah, he says he's and like, then with she, Kelly can't like, come.
Yeah, and she like monologues all the way to the car, just like, what the hell? I'm the blah, blah, blah. And it's like very funny. She's eating and it, and then she does get...
she's typing out loud. So she's like typing this to Greg, but saying
oh,
it
oh, yeah,
out
that's
loud.
What she's typing. It's very funny. That's what she's doing.
And then, unfortunately, right before she gets to the car, Little Miss Bloody Rose Waters goes...
Bloody Rose Waters herself.
Goes
the diva.
Sicko mode.
She goes sicko mode and she murders my favorite character.
Sandy, our girl. Rip, queen.
Then the final scene is Mouse is on her computer, which I say get away from the computer.
She also gets an unknown call first. So now all the girls, all five girls have gotten an unknown call. And canonically, we do need to say that they have basically made it so that no one can call their phones unless the number is saved into their phone. So... Law-wise, this makes me be like, interesting. That means, I think, that the person who is calling them on an unknown number must be someone that's in all of their phones already.
The call is coming from inside the house. Oh. And what does Mouse do? She answers it.
No. She doesn't answer the unknown call on her phone.
She
gets a video
on
call
computer?
On Creepypasta, which I've written. How is, like, video chat a possibility on a Creepypasta Spooky Spaghetti website? How does it have this interface?
I think that's why I was confused. I was like, oh, I guess she's answered it on a... because I answer phone calls on my computer. So
no,
I was like,
no,
what the
so
hell?
She it's something that's in the interface of Spooky Spaghetti, which is so strange. But like, so she doesn't answer the unknown call on her phone. But then through Spooky Spaghetti, she gets like a video chat request from Rose Waters. And it says accepting...
Why would you answer?
And then it says accepting this will automatically start a video chat. And she accepts...
She's sick. Mouse is sick.
And it's like a cartoonish, like kind of like a Snapchat filter version of Rose Waters.
Yes.
Saying in this kind of creepy voice, she says these three things. She says, hope you've been studying. You know who I am. Save your breath. You'll need it. Those are the three things that she says. And then there's like a hang up. What?
I would have a panic attack.
Why would you answer?
Why would you answer? Because Mouse... sicko mode.
She is sicko. She's El Sickos.
And we love her for that, for plot reasons. But it makes me anxious to see it.
It makes me terrified.
Yeah. And that's the end of the episode.
What do we think, Kaylee? What do we think?
I loved it. I had such a good time. This one ended and I was like, oh, I'm ready for episode 3. I'm here. I want to see more people die. I want to see more people fuck.
I
want to see more summer jobs.
I want to see what other Steve summer jobs they can get in this town.
Oh, please. What did you think? Did you have a good time?
I had a good time. I'm excited for more. I am interested to see what happens with the storyline of like the mental health stuff with Imogen. I'm interested to see what happens. Who is this Christian guy? I want more Lola. I
want
to see
I want so much more Lola.
I want Redemption House now. Like, that's where I'm at.
I think we'll get the Redemption House play in the penultimate episode and, yeah, killings will happen.
Killings
will happen and people will be like, oh. Okay, trivia. There's only some quick points. The image used for... so in the last episode, I said that, yeah, all the promo for each episode had a different horror film poster that they were referencing. So this episode was the 1981 horror film The Burning. The synopsis for the film is a former summer camp caretaker... horribly burned from a prank gone wrong, lurks around an upstate New York summer camp bent on killing the teenagers responsible for his disfigurement. Which is very this show.
It's very arch support. Also, we should say that there's a poster of Grease showing at the Orpheum when we see Tabby's name in lights as well.
Summer loving.
Had me a blast.
Had me a blast, but people died. Sandy died!
Sandy.
All right, time for some segments, some seggies, and some seg rolls.
Yum, yum.
If you need an explainer on these, head to our Instagram, call.an.adult, or just look up call and adult, you'll find us. And look at our pinned post where we explain all of these. They're all Pretty Little Liars references. Ooh. To the original series. Who is the hottest adult of this episode? The lifeguard man.
Lifeguard man.
who probably is not going to be good, but sexy can I?
Yes, you can.
What was the yikes of this episode? Oh, the bus stop. The bus stop
for sure.
Oh. That was an easy one. The first episode, we found that quite hard.
Bus stop.
Who gets a buttercream from us? Daddy Hastings.
I would like to give Dr. Sullivan Nussi a buttercream. I would like to give...
I agree.
Sandy a buttercream. Rip, queen.
Oh, rip.
I would like to give Kelly a buttercream for sucking a dick. But
I would like to give Farron one for punching Greg.
Yes. I would like to give...
I just liked it.
Imogen one for giving her real name in the end and coming around to that, you know? I would love to give Lola a buttercream.
She can have whatever treats she wants, whatever show. I would like to give her a laptop filled with all her shows.
What do we think her shows are?
Bold and the Beautiful.
Mm. Young and the Restless.
Just soap operas.
All My Children. General All My Hospital.
Children. Yeah.
You think she's watching The Housewives?
I don't think so. I think she's watching Young Sheldon.
Oh, yeah. She's watching Young Sheldon. She's watching Everybody
But
Hates.
I would like to get her...
Chris reruns.
Everybody Hates
Chris. She's watching that show, The Middle.
Yes. I think that's when I said Young Sheldon. I was like, something like The Middle. It's The Middle. I think she likes The Middle. And I'll forgive her for that.
I'll forgive her.
What gave us a hardcover? So what made us horned up?
Any scene with Noah and Jen, I was like, suck and fuck each other now.
Please give us a queer storyline.
Come on.
What gave us a soft cover? What made us the opposite of horned up? Most of the episode as usual. Yeah. The bus stop scene, absolutely.
Bus stop dried my puss like the Sahara.
Yeah. Who gets a wine from King Byron Fishlips Montgomery?
Oh man, I would like to give a wine to Farron for that punch. I would like to give a wine to Lola to watch with her.
Lola can have whatever drink she wants. Sullivan Nussi always gets a wine.
Always gets a wine. I would also like to give a wine to the lady running the diner, who's like, we need someone to start immediately.
And a buttercream to her too.
Yeah.
And the line of the episode. Mine is...
Can I watch my shows on this?
Can I watch my shows on this?
I agree with that.
But also, anything Sandy Quinn said was great.
Also, I used to be a punk in high school from Dr. Sullivan Nussi. Pretty good.
Oh, that was so good. I'm so glad she's back. I was like, I'm so glad we've got Dr. Sullivan Nussi.
We would die without her.
We would die. And that's episode 2.
We did it. Wow. Hayley, I love you.
I love you, Ash. Oh. Thank you in advance for editing this and turning it out quickly.
So, hey, it's my pleasure.
Because we're journalists.
It's an honor. And journalists have to journal.
We are journaling. We're journaling, like Dr. Sullivan Nussi told us to.
Exactly. When she said that, I said, okay, yes, journal, aka record us speaking about a show.
Make a podcast. That's my therapy. And everyone, before you go, before you take out your AirPods, headphones, whatever,
just remember,
we need to remind you, no matter what time of day it is,
close
your damn blinds.
All right, shut them
close them
because you could be sleepwalking, sure, and you see someone outside with bandages all over the face. That could happen when you're awake, okay? So don't give yourself the option. Close them.
Bloody Rose Waters could be watching. Archie could be watching. Sandy Quinn could be walking by texting and talking out loud.
And you know what? You want to eavesdrop on that. You don't want her to see that you're seeing her.
No.
Okay?
Because you don't want to see her die, but you do want to hear what she has to say.
You don't want to see her be slain. You want to hear her slay? You don't want to see her be slain.
Were you slaying or were you slain? Oprah.
To slay or to be slain? That is the question.
That is the question.
Okay, and the answer is slay. We love you all.
We love you. Well, Ash, I love you so much.
I love you,
Hayley. So fun.
You're the best.
And I'll see you next week.
See you next, not Tuesday, but another day of the week.
See you next Saturday.
That's what day we record on. Nah.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Tōbaki.
Tōbaki, yeah. beautiful listeners, if you didn't know, we actually have a Patreon, which we call The Dollhouse. So come hang out in our dollhouse.
We also have a YouTube channel. So if you want to watch this episode and other episodes, head to our YouTube channel and subscribe.
And you can find all updates at our Instagram or look in the episode show notes.
We love ya.
We love you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Call an Adult. We appreciate you more than Alison appreciates immortality, my darlings. Please give the show some love by giving us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice.
You can stay up to date on episodes by following our Instagram at call.an.adult, as well as our respective Instagrams at Ashley Crapapp and at Hayley Tanto. Have a lovely day, and don't forget,
shut your damn blinds!
See ya! Call an Adult is recorded on the stolen lands of the Boonwurrung and Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land. Sovereignty was never ceded.